Ruth chapter 4, part 9, Gave. As God forgives us for the past and puts everything in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered, he gives us what is necessary for the task at hand. Luke 10:3, Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. We are equipped with the love of God in our hearts. Romans 5:5, Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The most powerful weapon in the universe is love. This love has a powerful supernatural effect on others by the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus' anointed, unconditional love. His love is pure, not perverted and selfish like our earthly love. His unconditional love can move mountains and can supernaturally accomplish anything he sends it to do through you and I. Our new anointed nature of love supernaturally attracts. When it is genuine, people want what we have. They ask what caused the great and obvious change in our lives. They cannot deny his glory shining and radiating through us. Many years ago, while I was pastoring a church in Florida, my brother-in-law lost his life in an automobile accident at only 21 years of age. The funeral was located at my hometown in Pennsylvania, a place I moved away from many years before. When they advertised in the newspaper obituary section that I was doing his memorial service, many of my old high school acquaintances read the article and said it had to be a different Richard Milligan. The one they had last seen would probably be the least likely to fill the part of a minister. When they had come, they were astonished at my new life. They had so many questions of what happened, as they could see the change was genuine and not put on. Our very lives create opportunities to testify and show his love. Obedience to his word attracts Christ to us, and that oneness with Christ and his purpose is what takes us to our eternal home. The trials of this life are what our Lord uses to break us of our old nature of sin and bondage, to give us his glorious nature that others may see him on display. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Jesus is always our example. He learned obedience through suffering as he was broken more than any man. Why should we expect anything different than to take up our cross to follow him? After our breaking and maturing, our lives are a living miracle. We have become that new creation, and we can never go back. The previous old nature no longer exists and is dead. He gave us a brand new nature like his. As we are now prepared for his works, we must never feel we have arrived. We are instead a work in progress in need of daily guidance to adequately follow his will and purpose. When we continue with Christ in this constantly changing process, we will see and recognize the supernatural hand of God more and more in our daily lives until it becomes natural to us. Job chapter 36 and verse 11, If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. God became man so he could become kinfolk, that man might become him in his great plan of redemption. He became sin by taking our sins upon himself when he knew no sin. He became me that I might become a son of God. We are now sons and daughters of God because he was made kinfolk when he took on the form of our flesh by being born of a woman. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The first chapter in the book of John sheds more evidence of God in flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1, also in verses 14 through 16. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. and of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. He became the man that would die, so through his death I might have life. He became what I was, so by his grace I become what he is. Think about God's love, his plan for us, and his great power to bring all to pass. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We, filled with the Holy Ghost, become sons and daughters of God. We, as Christians, saved by grace and given the Holy Spirit, have great authority because we are sons. We so easily forget who we are and what God gave to fallen man when he freely gave his precious blood on Calvary. The entire earth is covered with the blood from our kinsman redeemer to redeem Adam's fallen race. When Boaz left in the morning to make his public testimony as the redeemer for Naomi and Ruth, Naomi told Ruth to rest, but Boaz would not rest until the redemption process was completed. Naomi told Ruth everything was all right because she found grace in Boaz's sight. God gave us the Holy Spirit because we found grace in his sight. We know everything is all right because he gave us the earnest of our redemption with the infilling of his Spirit. We can rest in his presence until the fullness of his redemption is complete. God's very nature is giving. He is love, and love gives correction. He gives us our new created nature, which is a part of him. If his nature is consistently giving, our new nature will be a giving nature exactly like his. Jesus is the lily of the valley. Solomon 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Also in Luke 12, 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. A lily has to push its way up through the mud to come to its fullness of life. When it gets up and open to its fullness, its glory comes forth with the greatest of fragrance for every creature and person, good or bad, to enjoy. The flies, bees, and other insects take what they need from it, when they need it, without any resistance. This is Christ's nature and the nature of every genuine Christian. When Jesus became our kinsman redeemer, he became a man so the world could partake of his nature and be made sons of God. A genuine Christian with the same nature makes himself available so others can take whatever is needed. The Christian is equipped with the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Fruits are grown, but gifts are given. God gives of himself through these gifts for others. The fruits blossom into our changed nature, causing our new love to put others first in our lives. A Christian life is one lived for others. As we are sent out as sheep to let our light shine among the wolves, God gives us his protection by fortifying us with his word. As we go through our trials, his word is our defense against any onslaught or deception Satan can offer. God's word is impenetrable when mixed with faith. No matter what the trial or how severe, we must stand on the life of the word and watch the supernatural take over. The life of the word is the very person and presence of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us his word because he cannot give us anything higher than himself. We can get so overwhelmed trying to figure out what Satan is going to do that we lose sight of just believing in faith. Growing up in Pennsylvania, I saw apple trees dropping dead leaves in the fall of the year. You could shake every dead leaf from the tree and rake them up only to find another bunch had fallen the next day. It was a never-ending fight against the fallen leaves. However, when springtime came and the life of the tree that had gone into the roots for winter would begin to come forth, every single dead leaf that remained would fall off. We need to keep submitting ourselves into the life of his word. As we get more of his life in us, the dead things will scatter without a battle. James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It does not matter what Satan is doing as long as we stay fortified with God's word. Here we can rest and have the peace that passes all understanding in the midst of the storm. When applying the pure word of God in faith, it will produce exactly what it says every time. What seeds we plant in our confessions to God are what the crop is sure to be. Every seed produces after its own kind. After Ruth's breaking, she was rewarded for her solid commitment by becoming the bride of the Lord of the harvest. God gave Boaz and Ruth a son whom they named Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David, from whose lineage came forth the son of David, Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. God used this insignificant Moabite woman who gave such a righteous commitment to God to write a story typing you and I, the Gentile church. He gave us scriptures that would be interpreted by him and him alone to be used to clearly understand the promise of our full redemption. All this written thousands of years ago. When Jesus died that shameful death, paying the full price on Calvary, God, by his Spirit, testified back by rending the temple veil from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top. This showed he himself rent it, opening the way into the Holy of Holies for all people, both Jew and Gentile, for all time. The earthquake, lightning flashed, and the sun and the stars went dark in the middle of the day, all testifying the shedding of his own blood was a sufficient atonement for all sins. We have been redeemed. The veil was about 60 feet high, about 30 feet wide, and about 4 inches thick. The book of Exodus tells us this thick veil was fashioned from blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine twisted linen. The size and thickness of the veil makes the events occurring at the exact moment of Jesus' death so much more momentous. It was the moment he cried with a loud voice and gave up his spirit that the curtain of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. We accept and commit to the Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ, by faith. Then just as royal blood came through Ruth, a foreigner, to form the most holy union, we have by faith royal blood through our veins. We are kings and priests standing by his side as his bride. There is so much more real than the natural realm. If science had the capabilities of examining the spiritual bloodline and God's, they would find genuine believers with the same spiritual DNA of God. We have proven not only the fact of our redemption, but also the fact that once made free, we can never be sold back into bondage and slavery again. Praise be to our Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ. We are truly redeemed as joint heirs with him as his chosen bride. We will spend all of eternity with the one who loved us and gave his life for us. Praise the Lord. We are redeemed.